It was a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived, and she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made the promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today we hear Mary's words. "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my soul rejoices in God my Savior." Oh, what joy, what contagious joy Mary had. And this is a season of joy, and as we celebrate the joy that has come into our world in Jesus, the joy that we'll celebrate in just 10 days. Can you believe? Christmas is just 10 days away, and I hope you are ready. Now, this is for just all the men of the church, all right? Have you got started yet? All right? Have you got started? Don't wait to do your Christmas shopping on Christmas Eve. And don't do what I heard TJ did to Sonia. I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that they were out Christmas shopping the other night, and somehow they got separated. And fortunately, they had their cell phones with them. And so Sonia called TJ, and she said, "Honey, where are you? Where are you at?" And TJ said, "Well, darling," he said, "do you remember where we were first married, that jewelry shop where you saw that diamond necklace that you love, but we didn't have enough money at the time?" And I said, "Someday I'm going to come back to this very shop and buy that necklace for you. Do you remember that?" And Sonia, she excited, said, "Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do." And, well, TJ said, "Well, I'm at the Home Depot next door to that jewelry shop getting some ice melt." Church, it was not a very joyful evening that evening, and he really did need some ice melt, but not for the sidewalk, all right? Just teasing, right? That didn't happen. But it made for a great story. This is truly a season of joy because God has lifted us up by making the way possible for you and I and the whole world to become His redeemed children. The scripture that we just shared is really a song of joy. It is called the Magnificat because Magnificat is the first word in the Latin translation of the song, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And as with any song, Mary's song tells a story about some of the deepest meanings of Christmas, a story of God reaching out to a person on the very bottom of life's totem pole and lifting that person to the heights of exalted blessedness. Mary, oh, she sings out, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations are going to call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Oh, in the midst of the Christmas season, it's so easy to focus in on the baby Jesus lying there in the manger and the cattle lowing, stars shining, and we tend to forget the context by which that culture where Mary and Joseph lived. We tend to forget that women were treated and how they were treated and what was expected of them, especially as we think about Mary and her story. Listen, women had no rights. They had no status, no place in the temple outer courts. It's where they had to be. Women had no voice. They couldn't speak in religious services, nor could they speak in public with men. And when a man wanted out of the relationship, maybe his wife didn't give him sons. Or maybe she just burned the toast. All he had to do was say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And with these three recitations, that was it. No more marriage. And no provision or support of responsibility for the children. Women were so low on the social register that every morning when the religious men would attend their morning prayers, they would recite together, Lord, I thank thee that I was not born a woman. And yet in the awesome stillness of the Advent season, a young woman sings this song of joy, a song about a God who values women so highly that he intervenes in human history to break the power of sin and death through her. By Mary saying yes to God and putting her life in God's hands. A lowly woman lifted higher than any man that has ever been lifted, and she becomes the co-begetter of the living Word of God. Imagine that. Imagine that. This is Mary's joy. This is her contagious joy, not just for her, but for all, because what God was going to do through the for her and for her world for all time. What a wondrous gift that God is giving and would give. Now let's switch over this morning to Buddy the Elf for a moment. Buddy the Elf, he really liked to smile. In fact, one of the catchphrases is I just like smiling. Smiling's my favorite. Oh, Buddy was full of the Christmas joy, and it showed it, and it was a contagious joy. Those around him were greatly affected. Walter's secretary, Deb, his brother, Michael, his girlfriend, Jovi, and his stepmother, Emily, they were all affected by his contagious joy, and certainly even Walter in time became affected by that joy. And like Mary, the mother of Jesus, this joy, it changed their lives forever. And that's the clip that I want to show you this morning. It comes near the end of the story of Elf. And I want you to see this contagious joy that is shared. And in this movie, it's called Christmas Spirit. But in reality, it's just pure joy.
Hey, Michael, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. But Buddy, he's in the park with Santa. The sleigh won't fly because there's no Christmas spirit.
Michael?
Mom!
Michael!
Oh. Are you okay?
I'm fine. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
Merry Christmas.
Stop messing around. Get in.
I put them on the naughty list and they never forgave me.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Christmas Eve, Central Park.
And so Walter's dad and all of those gathered there were certainly blessed, and it put them over the top as he embraced the Christmas spirit together with all of those who caught that contagious spirit of Christmas, and they were all of them allowed and made Santa's sleigh fly. What a great story. What a fun story. And that's how our joy as Christians should be. Contagious, reaching out to those around us and spreading to everyone in which we come into contact. It's that deep, unmovable, persistent, never-changing sense of trusting God, trusting that no matter what, God will bring us through, that we are in God's hands, and that God truly is for us. And no matter how low we might get, no matter how many walls that we might hit, no matter if we are uprooted from family and friends and forced to go and live in some foreign land because a tyrant is after my child, oh, still my joy cannot be taken from me. Because joy, you see, is not about happiness. It's about that unmovable, unshakable, deep sense that my God is the God who is walking with me in life, that He truly is that Emmanuel, that He goes with me every day. And so no matter what I face in life, good and bad and everything in between, God will lift me up. Even the lowliness sinner such as I, even the person who thinks that they have no worth, God will be my joy, for He will always lift me up. He will always find in me value. Oh, you see, this isn't just Mary's song this morning, but it's also our song. Our soul magnifies the Lord. You see, our spirit rejoices in God our Savior, for God has truly looked upon us with favor, the lowliness of His servants. And surely all generations will be blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for us, for you, for me, and holy is His name. Oh, this too should be our song of contagious joy, that joy unspeakable, joy unstoppable, joy that has come into my world and your world, joy that can never be taken from us. For it's rooted and it is infused in our faith. Because, you see, we have faith, we have joy. Our joy is in the Lord. Our joy, you see, is not rooted in happiness. Our joy is not dependent upon how things are just going in our life. Oh, unfortunately, our culture often equates joy and happiness as really the same word, but in the context of our faith in Christ, they are worlds apart. Because you see, you can have joy. Oh, you can have joy in the Lord and not be happy. Oh, yeah. You can be happy and also have joy in the Lord. And you can even have no joy in the Lord and yet still have happiness in life. You see, joy and happiness are truly not the same word, especially when we use them in the context of faith. You see, being happy or having happiness is about happenings. It's about happenings. We unwrap Christmas presents. It's a happy time with our family. We watch some of those crazy Christmas shows on television like Elf, and we laugh and we have this happy spirit within us. We go on vacation on some island and man, it is in the sun and we are so happy, especially knowing that it's 20 degrees at home and 4 to 6 inches of snow's coming, right? Yeah. We even happy whenever we buy that new car. Until about the third payment. And that's the problem with happiness. It's always fading. Happiness is always fading because happiness depends upon our circumstances, our happenings. But what happens when that new car rusts out, or if that family doesn't show up for a vacation? What happens when our power goes out and we're not able to watch that Christian comedy or that show on Hallmark? And then stepping up a notch to those things that really matter in life. Like, what happens to our happiness when our health deteriorates or a loved one dies? Or maybe we lose much of our life savings. What happens when the party's over? You see, if happiness depends on our circumstances, our happenings, then life falls apart. Often what occurs is that our happiness flies away and often despair sets in. Now, in contrast to happiness stands joy. Joy. Joy is that quiet, confident assurance of God's love and work in my life. Joy is that deep, strong assurance that God is going to be there no matter what, that He truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Happiness depends on happenings, but listen, joy depends upon Christ. I love the words of Paul in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The New Living Translation says it like this: always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say it again, oh, rejoice. Paul knew what joy, contagious joy, was about, and it had nothing to do with happiness. But it had everything to do with knowing God and living one's life with the Master. And listen, when Paul penned these words, he wasn't drinking some eggnog at a Christmas party. He wasn't even at his mother's house opening Christmas presents. Oh no, he was yet still full of joy. Do you know where Paul was when he penned these words? Yeah, prison. And he says to the church, always be full of the joy of the Lord. And I say rejoice. It's almost like he's singing those words. And he's in prison. This man is in a cold dungeon, sleeping on a rock, having hopefully a bucket for his bathroom, and certainly hopefully that someone is bringing him food. You talk about a depressing situation, a miserable experience. And without a doubt, I can tell you that Paul, he was not happy. Oh, listen, he was not happy about where he was, about his current life situation. But I can also tell you without a doubt that Paul was full of joy, joy unspeakable. In fact, it's not just in one verse that Paul points to the joy, that contagious joy that we have in Jesus. He wrote this letter to the Philippian church, and it sings of all the joy that Paul experiences. Four chapters. Paul lifts up this positive message of rejoicing or joy 16 times, joy in suffering. Oh, listen, joy that Christ has preached, joy in serving, joy in dying, joy in believing, joy in giving. And why? Oh, because Paul's joy rested in Jesus alone. And church, our joy in life rests solely in Christ, even when we are unhappy, even in the midst of a very difficult circumstances, when things aren't going to go our way. Do you really think Mary was pleased with having her very first baby in a stinky, dirty stable? Come on, really? And yet she was full of joy. So even when our lives are broken and our hearts are torn apart, we still have joy. We won't be happy, but we can still have this fullness of joy because our joy, man, it's in the Lord. Without a doubt, life is going to come your way, bringing with it love and happiness and exciting times and laughter and heartache. And sometimes those bitter moments and trials like you cannot even imagine. And for those who have faith in Christ, whose faith rests in His joy, we are able to make it through and not to be overcome with our circumstances. Because you see, Christ is our joy. Oh, listen, our soul magnifies the Lord. Our spirit rejoices in God our Savior. For God has looked with favor upon the lowliness of His servants. And surely for all generations, we're going to be blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for you and me. For holy is His name. Oh, church, may you know the contagious joy of the ever-loving Father and this joy that Jesus brings into our heart and to our life. The joy that can never be robbed from you, from me. The joy that fills your life because your faith is in Christ Jesus alone. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank You for that contagious joy that You bring to us in Jesus, that joy that You imparted upon this world and in that very first Christmas that has brought us this sense that You are truly with us and that we can go nowhere without You, that You are Emmanuel, God with us, and because of that, our joy is complete. And we can face those things in life that harm us and cause us to stretch our faith. We can face those things, Lord, because we know that our happiness, our joy is not in the happenings, but our joy rests with You. God, we love You together, and it's in Your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Go now in the strength and the power and the grace of the God who loves you and who loves all, and may you experience His peace. Amen.